Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the coming of the One World Church. If you'd like to join in this dialogue and discussion, ask your question, put in, as some calls it, put in your 2 cents worth, that's wonderful. You can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can answer your questions and allow you to join in the dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, the bride of Christ, the true church. The real believer will be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world, and Satan will empower the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, to control the nations of the world. And the churches of all denominations will continue just as though nothing happened. Most mainline denominations today, as I have put it, they're just as lost as a green ball in high weeds. But after the true church is raptured out, most churches will never skip a beat. Religious services will continue, and it's because it's the Babylonish religious system that's referred to in Revelation chapter 17, the great apostate church. And it's called the great horde, the apostate church. The false church will be in vogue in that day. We're talking about after the rapture of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, I am appalled by so many theologians, so many pastors, preachers, teachers, denominations that will try to get you to believe that the Christian will go through the tribulation. The tribulation, the word there, thalupsis, is the word for pressure and problems and difficulties, and it's the anger of God. It's where his wrath will be poured out. The word wrath in the scripture is the word thumos, means the white-hot anger of God will be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying society, and that does not include the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's anger, God's wrath has already been mitigated at the cross, so he's not angered with you. He's not mad with you or me. And so, therefore, there will not be a Christian in the tribulation. I'm bothered by these. I want to sell you some kind of special sea rations that you can put up, and they'll last for 25 years so that you can use that going through the tribulation time. In fact, there's a preacher out on the West Coast that in his television broadcast, he's advocating now to buy little cabins that can be self-assembled, and you can assemble your cabin, you can be up in the mountainside, and you can be away from the Antichrist during the tribulation so that you'll be able to have a place to stay, that you'll be sequestered from his long-reaching arm, and you'll be okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's antithetical to the Scripture. That's a false teaching. That's a lie. And we ought to be aware of what the Bible says. We need to be Berean Christians, where we can search the Word and see if it be so. And where they were talking about searching the Word and see if it be so, the Apostle Paul was preaching. The Berean Christians, the Berean church said, let's just search the Scripture, make sure what he says is correct. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what needs to be done today with every pastor, preacher, teacher, everybody that's preaching, teaching the Word. Christians ought to be saying, let's see if I can find that in the Scripture. Where is that found? And we need to search the Scripture to make sure that it is true. But ladies and gentlemen, in that day, it's after I'm gone, after you've gone. I pray that you're saved. If you're saved, you won't be here. There will be that apostate church. We need to understand, though, where it's going in society and who are the promulgators of this coming about from the human standpoint so that we'll know what we ought to be doing and how we can understand the Scripture a little more clearly and be busy about carrying out the task that God's called us to do. During the days of the tribulation, it will be the approved world church. Today, government hates the church for the most part. We're not finding it, generally speaking, where government approves the church. We're talking about now in the presidency of Donald J. Trump, where there is a feeling that the church ought to exist. There's a feeling, in a sense, that the First Amendment right, the religious liberty and religious freedom ought to continue. But ladies and gentlemen, if in 2020, let's propose in 2020, we have a socialist goes in as president, or at the latest 2024, a socialist takes the reins as a socialist governmental leadership, you will find then the church will absolutely be crushed. The true church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be shut out. We won't find anything called the First and Second Amendment rights in particular under that type of leadership because it is a dominating, dogmatic, anti-God, anti-church philosophy that's found in the socialist Marxist governance approach today that we're seeing. But it's leading up to that. Today we see every mainline denomination embracing the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ agenda, abortion on demand, social justice, the feminist movement within the church. We're witnessing the stage being set for the rapture of the church and then the one world religion, that one world church, the apostate church, will come into existence, ladies and gentlemen. And in Revelation chapter 17, it is very, very clear, and I'm just going to pluck out some of the verses and give you some thoughts on it before we wrap up the thoughts and the broadcast of what I'm wanting us to understand. But in the apostate church, it is a powerful rule. We look at the harlot church, and in verse 1, it talks about her popularity. It says, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And the many waters is indicative of nations. How do I know it means nations? Because in the 15th verse of the same chapter, it says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So, ladies and gentlemen, the great whore, the apostate church, will be that one that will be dominating in control. This is the church after the rapture of the church, ruling over many nations with a position of power and control and authority, but it will be under the dominating hand and the control and authority, first of all, from Satan himself, and then through the Antichrist being carried out by the false prophet. Ladies and gentlemen, the false prophet will have major, major authority and power during the days of the tribulation. That is the key leadership in the church that will be dominating. If you want to call it a church, you can call it a religious system. You can call it the apostate church. The Bible calls it the great whore and the mother of all whores, according to Revelation 17, verse 5. But we'll find the powerful rule of this apostate church. Her popularity is seen in verse 2 of Revelation 17. You see the perversion, because the scripture says they're drunk, literally intoxicated, controlled by this false religion, the popular perversion, the popular and perverted. The kings, the scripture says, that is the leadership of the earth, have committed fornication with her. That is spiritual adultery, spiritual intercourse with the world, bringing worldly practices into the church, worldly music, worldly dancing. There are a lot of things that's taking place today within the so-called church that is not the true church, that's going to merge right into the popular church of that day, the apostate church, when the true church is raptured out. I was appalled to find that we have seminaries in America today that's teaching spiritual dance, Christian dance, church dance, as it's called now. It may be stepping on your toes. You may be thinking that that's okay. And there are those that will say, well, you know, David danced before the Lord. Yes, he did. Where was that? It was with 30,000 men in a parade. There wasn't any women in it, 30,000 men. It was when the ark was being brought back into Jerusalem. And as the ark is brought back into Jerusalem, David, with his kingly robe on, looked out of the palace window, ripped his robe off, ran down the stairs, jumped in front of the parade, and was jumping up and down. He was writhing. And that word writhe means to jump up, to turn, and to come back down. And that's what he was doing, dancing before the ark, which was symbolic of, emblematic of, the presence of the Lord. And so, yes, David danced before the Lord, but he wasn't in a house of worship. It wasn't in a synagogue. It wasn't not in a church house. It wasn't in a cathedral where he was dancing. And so we talk about having spiritual dance being taught in a seminary. I'm appalled by it. It's setting the stage for the ultimate false church, the global church, where it will be popular, but it will be a perversion of the real church. And we see then in the third verse of chapter 17 in Revelation, talking about the apostate church, the great whore, we see her power. The scripture says there, I saw a woman, that is the whore, the harlot, sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, that's cursings, having seven heads and seven horns. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same beast that is found in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1. Here it talks about with the same terminology. It talks about that one that is rising out with the 10 heads and the seven heads and the 10 horns, etc., etc., with great, great blasphemy. And that's cursings against God and against God's church, against God's people. And we see today, ladies and gentlemen, this is the same picture that we see in Revelation 13, that we see in Revelation 17, and it's pointing out the man of sin, the Antichrist, that will be the head of the future one world governmental system, and the false prophet being the head of the one world religious system in the world at that time. We see a day coming, ladies and gentlemen, when the church and the government will be in league together with the political system, fully supporting the false religious system, where government will one day support and promote the world religious system. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to set the stage for us to understand that these are the prophetic things that's going to take place. When the church is raptured out, Satan will be in full control. When the church is raptured out, the Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer. When the church is raptured out, the Holy Spirit of God is no longer going to be prevalent and permeating in society today. It will go back to just as in the Old Testament dispensation, where God then in the Old Testament dispensation would send his Holy Spirit to perform what he wanted in the life and the heart and the work of an individual, and then will be withdrawn. The same is true in the days of the tribulation. The Holy Spirit will not be prevalent as it is today because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is raptured out. So then Satan will have free reign through the Antichrist and the false prophet to perform signs, miracles, and wonders and cause the whole world to fall. Perhaps you'll say, well, if I'm in the world after the rapture of the church, if I'm lost and rapture of the church take place, then I can get saved. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility. You can't get saved when you're good and well pleased to. You can only get saved when the Holy Spirit is drawing you. As the Holy Spirit draws you, if you say no, 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 until your spirit is so calloused and so twisted and warped that you'll not be able to. When the scripture is very, very clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and following, that if you've chosen to believe a lie, Satan's going to send you a great delusion and allow you to believe a lie. And you'll not be able to just be saved if you so well please. In the days of the tribulation, those that will truly get saved are the ones that have never heard the gospel. It's where the scales are taken off the eyes of the Jewish people, and they'll say yes to Yeshua Messiah and weep and wail and come to faith in him, according to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9 and following. We will find they will be in the very midst of the greatest revival the world's ever known during the days of the tribulation. Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14 says there'll be 144,000 virgin male Jewish evangelists preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that multitudes of Jews might get saved and come to Yeshua Messiah. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yeah, my comment is, now is the time to serve the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul. There's no second opportunity. But if there is a second one, I don't want to be part of it, because many preachers are preaching and people are teaching that you can go in the second one. Well, the second one that you mentioned, if the Holy Spirit won't be here on earth and they cannot serve the Lord faithfully, imagine when the Holy Spirit is not around. That would be almost, if not impossible. That's the way I see it. I mean, many people is preaching, you know. You miss the first flight, as I call it, you can go on the second one. I'm sorry, I don't want to take the chance. And I'm
Brother, you're exactly right. I am so thankful that you made that statement. I my mind can't even wrap around the thought of what the world will be like. I can see it in the scripture. I can understand it theologically, philosophically, and ideologically. Mm-hmm. But to understand it personally and to be able to embrace it, it is almost incomprehensible, because the crass condition and the condition of the world when it's under the domination and control of Satan. As you said, I wouldn't want to be there.
Yes, and my other, I mean, this is a speculation. I always wonder with the devil making cool the tattoos and piercing, do you imagine when the Antichrist is on earth and he said, I'm going to have free tattoos to everybody, but it has to be 666. You think people is going to take it or he's going to repeal it? People is going to embrace it. He say, oh, wait a minute, free tattoos. What's wrong? We had another tattoo on my body. So I don't know, but I just thinking out loud. And many Christians are following the pattern of the world, marking the bodies and putting tattoos. And
absolutely.
I don't believe that.
As you're talking about, you're going back to Revelation chapter 13, where they'll be required to take the mark in the forehead or on the hand, and it's the 666. The 666 is the epitome of humanism. Seven is the perfect number. So 777, the indicative of the Holy Spirit, that is God, Father, God, Son, God, the Holy Spirit, the ultimate of power and authority in the right sense. And six is man's number. It's always been, you study numerology biblically speaking, six is the number of man. So 666 is a man-centered universe, that is the epitome of humanism. And yet that number, the number of man, it says in verse 17 and 18 of Revelation chapter 13, but it's the mark of the beast. And some ask the question, as you just said, will people accept that? Will they accept that mark on their body? Well, it could be a mark. It could be something that's indelibly put. It could be a little small grain, as a grain of rice, that is a little implant that's in the body there, that's a chip where a person can be identified. But nevertheless, the point being, in answering your question, people will gladly, gleefully line up to accept the mark, because they want to be identified with greatness and grandeur and that which is in power and in control. And we see that mindset today, where people will grovel at the feet of those that are viewed as being powerful people, want the autograph, want to be with them, want to have the photographs made with them, want to be seen with them. And that's what you see the image of, the picture that you see in Revelation chapter 13. It's because the Antichrist, when he is raised from the dead, the whole world, what the scripture says in verse 3, will wonder after him, be amazed by him, and they want to follow him to be identified with him. That is the picture that we see in Revelation 13, and you're exactly right, brother.
So, brother, let's hope none of us will do that on earth, and we'll be taken away. The devil can't take my house. Have a blessed day, brother.
Thank you so much.
When the rapture happens. Bye-bye.
I am ready for that rapture, absolutely. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Brother, thank you so much for your call and your words of encouragement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the coming One World Church. It's the global governance that within that will have the global One World Church. We're seeing all denominations today, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I want us to look at some commonalities here so that we can go toward the ultimate of what I want us to understand that's taking place in this One World Global Governance and the One World Church that is coming out of that. We're seeing today all denominations embracing the Sodomite lifestyle through the LGBTQ agenda. We're watching the all of the denominations accepting the homosexual marriages. We're watching today all denominations accepting the false theology saying that there's no hell, there's no virgin birth, and redefining the biblical terms that most people have never considered possible or probable in relationship to that. Here's an article that says the U.S. Catholic officials welcoming Catholic Muslim document signed by the Pope. And rather than going through the document, ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply suffice it to say the Pope has signed a document of intent for the merger of the Roman Catholic denomination with Islam. This article says in one point, in our increasingly hostile world in which violence too often predominates between Christians and Muslims, violence that has led to tragic consequences for the most vulnerable humans, we welcome with great joy this historic joint statement on human fraternity. And it goes further to say, we who believe in God and in the final meeting with him and his judgment on the basis of our religious and moral responsibility and through this document call upon ourselves, upon the leaders of the world, as well as the architects and international policy and world economy to work strenuously to spread the culture of tolerance and of living together in peace, the document's read. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an historic document where, in fact, this is in February 2019, this year, just a few months back, where the Roman Catholic Church, where the Pope signed a document of embracing Islam to be brought within the realm of the Roman Catholic Church. Ladies and gentlemen, when you study Revelation chapter 17, and it talks about the great church of the apostate church, as it will be called, it has great power, and it is viewed as being very prosperous in verse 4 of chapter 17. And the woman was arrayed with purple and scarlet and color and bedecked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand this is talking about the apostate church, and it will be a wealthy, wealthy, wealthy church. And ladies and gentlemen, the thing that is more telling than anything else in the 17th chapter of Revelation, it is talking about the domicile, the place where this global one world church will be domiciled out of. And the scripture says, and here is the mind which has wisdom, the seven heads and the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. It is talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the seven mountains. And you go back, anybody can go back and study in world history. The city of seven hills is always, always, always referred to, geographically speaking, as the place of Rome, the city of Rome. So we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the domination of the world global governance, i.e. the church, the global church, the one world church of that era will be a church that will be domiciled out of Rome. Not only do we see her prosperity, but her pollution. Verse 4 of the latter portion says, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. The Bible does not mince words, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible describes the utter filthiness of the adulterous relationship between the world and the church in God's view. Be warned of the religious systems that lift up a person or a pope or a so-called prophet or the direct attention in any fashion, directing attention from the Lordship of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This religious system that's on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen, will allow sexual perversions and sexual promiscuity that would never have been dreamed to be in the real church, taking in what would be called the magical message, the abominations, the stench of filthiness, impure, uncleanliness, dirty in the sight of God. all of these idolatrous practices like praying to Mary and the popery worship and worshiping relics and angels, et cetera, will be in the dominating factor of the religious system of the days after the rapture of the church. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, some of the signs and what we're seeing, the indicators that's all pointing in that direction, where all of our denominations today are embracing much the same thing. We see today the Pope and his abandonment of any pretense of what I call biblical Christianity. Why do I say that? The Pope declared that hell does not exist. Now, I don't know about you, but that is frightening to me to understand that about 1.5 billion people follow in that denomination. But there are thousands upon thousands, in one document that I read, hundreds of thousands that are leaving the Catholic faith today because of what the Catholic Pope is declaring and saying. Someone said recently said, when I asked the question, what do you think about what the Pope is saying? He said, well, I wish he'd just shut up. And ladies and gentlemen, he's opening his mouth and stating, though, the reality of what is taking place. And listen very carefully. It's not by happenstance. It's not by accident. It is based on the fact that it is becoming the fulfillment of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Pope has declared that there's no place called hell. Hell does not exist. The Pope has said that the Bible is out of step with culture and should be rewritten. Now, that's a major, major, major error on the part of the Pope, in my most humble opinion. He's saying that I'm smarter than God. He's saying that I have made the determination that God's word is out of step with culture, and I'm going to help rewrite it. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize it's through the major cardinals in China, at the behest of the Pope, that is in league with the Chinese government, that as we speak are in the process of saying that the Chinese Bible must be rewritten to inculcate in the Chinese Bible a cultural setup for the Chinese people to feel that they must listen to the customs and the requirements of the Chinese government more than listening to and following the requirements of God. That's taking place as we speak, where the church in China today is coming more and more under repression, where the church in China today is being crushed. And may I tell you very boldly that it's as a result of the popery system that's been inculcated in the Chinese governance through allowing the false church to be seen, and it's where the cardinals of the bishop, or the cardinals of the Pope, are helping the Chinese government to repress the Christians, and it's to bring about the one world governance and the one world church through the domination of the city on seven hills, which is out of Rome, according to my Bible in Revelation chapter 17. The Pope has declared there's no hell. The Pope has said that the Bible is out of step with culture and needs to be written. The Pope has said that he is rewriting the words of the Lord's Prayer because it needs to be updated. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that could be said that's any more erratic and any more irrational and any more irreligious than that could be said. The Pope has declared that the border walls are sinful and ought not to be. The Pope doesn't see the need for the United States of America to have a border wall for a sovereign governance in the United States of America. Why is that so? Because the Pope is a globalist with a focus of one world global system of governance and a one world system of religious, if you please, church organizational structure. Here's an article that says, the Pope says homosexual tendencies are not sin. I'm reading an article here that says, the Pope is pushing for an action on global climate change. Here's an article that says, the Pope is reviving liberation theology. Here's an article that says, the Pope has endorsed the state of Palestine. The Pope is trying to eradicate anything that would be called Judaism and saying that Israel ought not to exist, that it should be called the state of Palestine and not Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, the Pope's outreach to Islamic world in 2019 has deep roots. This article says, Francis Keane's attraction to Catholic-Muslim relations was showcased by the fact that the first international trip was being elected after being elected to the papacy in 2013, was then in May of 2014 when he visited the Holy Land and then started to embracing the Islamic culture and the Islamic belief system. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the latest about the Pope. It says the Pope Francis appoints a pro-Islam archbishop to lead the major French city. August 16, 2019. Pope Francis recently named a new archbishop for the major French city in the Mediterranean coast. Bishop Jean-Marc, 60 years old, best known for his commitment to the Islamic Christian dialogue. His nomination is a clear message to the large Muslim community of Islam and Roman Catholicism merging. Here's an article that says, Pope Francis in the cradle of Islam. What might it bring? And then it goes on to talk about the fact the Pope attended a United Arab Emirates government-sponsored interfaith conference that builds upon recent decades of dialogue across religious divides. Building a relationship with the Islamic world has been the focus of the Pope, who will continue that effort even next month until the merger can take place. Ladies and gentlemen, that's bad enough. But what we're talking about is the merging together of the fragmentation of the religious systems today. It ought to frighten every Christian into the realization and the recognition that what we have in the true, written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God may not always be available to us as we know it today. What ought to frighten the Christian today and should get a sober response from everyone that's listening today should be that we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the rapture of the church is the next thing on the calendar of God. After the rapture of the church, it is too late for the church to say, or the Christian to say, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to get involved. It'll be too late, too late, too late. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact, listen very carefully, I am not saying today that the Pope is the false prophet. I'm not saying that. There's some that have said that. I'm simply saying that based on what I see in the Word of God, the false prophet will have major dominating power on a global basis that will bring together all of the loose ends of all of the fragments of the different denominations and the different cultural settings within the religious system to bring them together after the rapture of the church. And the Pope is doing that on a global, globe-trotting basis, if you please. He is embracing Islam to be brought into the Catholic denomination religious system. He is today also trying to bring in what's called Gaia, that's G-A-I-A, worship. That is the pagan religion of the Mother Earth worshipers, primarily coming today in America out of the Native Americans, that is the Indian culture. Here's an article that says, Gaia worship, the new pagan religion. Anyone who has studied the global environmental movement has no doubt heard the term Gaia. Gaia is a revival of paganism that rejects Christianity, considers Christianity its biggest enemy, and views the Christian faith as its only obstacle to global religious centered in Gaia worship and the uniting of all life forms around the goddess Mother Earth. A cunning mixture of science, paganism, Eastern mysticism, feminism have made this pagan cult a growing threat to the Christian church today. Gaia worship is at the very heart of today's environmentalist policies. And the Pope is engaged in, as I speak, engaged in the embracing of that, trying to bring that culture of Gaia worship within the Catholic Church. What should we do as believers? We should be salt and light. What should we do? We should preach the Word of God. What should we do? Look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.